Oh my gosh, you guys, today's episode speaks to my heart so very much. We are digging into the imposter syndrome when it comes to being a wedding planner in such a full and crazy industry. We've got Megan from Weddings for Real, an amazing podcast. Take a listen.
We are gathered here today to bring together the wedding community. Whether you are a seasoned pro, a newbie planning to start your own wedding business, or an engaged couple hoping to see behind the scenes, we're here to share tips, tricks, and laughs with you as we talk weddings. The Union Podcast is a show that aims to build a community for those in the wedding planning trenches. Join Jamie Wolfer, Heather Laurie Fear, and special guests in roundtable discussions about the challenges and joys of the wedding business. And now, here come your hosts, Jamie and Heather.
You guys, we have Megan here today, another wedding industry podcaster. Megan, thank you for being here and joining us today.
Ladies, I'm so excited for this chat. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yes, and you talk Weddings for Real. That's the podcast name. And we're going to get into some real stuff today about owning a business, the internal struggles of owning a business, the emotional struggles of that. So we're super excited to dive into this with you.
Yes. Keeping it real is my thing. So.
Yes.
Oh, got to keep it real. That's, we're all about
You've
it.
Come
too.
To the right place.
Yes. And we want our audience to, like, you know, a lot of them are new to this. And so they want to hear the real and know, like, what have I just jumped into? So we want to start out by talking about something that's kind of unique about your story, that you actually went and bought a business and then you rehabbed it. You kind of built it back up. Can you talk a little bit about your journey and how you got into this industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So I worked in the hospitality side of the industry for about 5 years in Marriott hotels, and that's where I got my start. It was pretty much the least glamorous job you could have in the event industry. I was a banquet operations manager, and I wore a, are you ready for this? It was a men's red suit coat with shoulder pads.
Yikes. That,
yeah, ooh. So bad. So bad.
Sexy I tried look.
Yeah. I tried with like a pencil skirt and heels and it still wasn't cute. But I worked in that position right out of college, then started doing sales and venue management for Marriott at a few different properties. I got married myself back in 2010, and I was kind of to that place where I was ready for the next step in business. So I reached out to a local planner in my market that I was not super familiar with, but had heard of her business. And I asked if there were any opportunities for me to apply for a job. And red flag number one should have been that she took like a month to get back to me, but maybe, you know, we get a lot of those inquiries all the time. I met her for coffee at a coffee shop, and I thought I was going into a job interview. So I had like client reference letters from working at the venue. I was dressed super professionally, and I'll never forget, it was a Starbucks, and it was 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late. She comes in, sunglasses on her head, strapless dress, sits down next to me and says, I'm burned out. I'm looking for someone to take over the weddings that I have remaining this year and next year. There's like 4 or 5 of them. I'm moving to DC in 2 months. And do you want to buy my business? And that was...
What?
I know. I had been married, I don't know, like 3 weeks at this point. It was very, very early on. I went home to my new husband, still my husband, 11 years later. And I said, ah, such a bummer. I thought I was going into a job interview, but, you know, she just is looking for someone to buy her business. And I am not ready for that. Maybe 5 years from now, I'm ready, but I'm not ready now. And my husband, and I think everyone needs this person in their life, whether it is their partner or a friend or a business coach, my husband was like, no, this is what you're meant to do. You have to do this. We'll take out a small business loan. You can leave your job. We're going to figure this out, but this is an opportunity that we can't pass up for you. And so I did. I left a great job, a great paycheck. We did take out a 5-figure small business loan, and all of that sounds really great, except it was not as it seemed from a business perspective. Also, I was in my mid-20s and I had never bought anything more expensive than like a really nice pair of shoes. I don't know. So I didn't know the questions to ask in buying a business. And we learned the hard way that we didn't really do a lot of the due diligence that I would recommend now for someone that is considering buying a business, or if I ever sold this business one day, the work that would need to be done to sell the business. So the business that I bought at one point had a great reputation, but by the time it was passed to me as the new owner, as a planner, that planner had basically burned all the bridges that you would want to have in place with venues or vendors that could have referred my brand new company. So that was it. The way I have described it in the past is it's like if you see this beautiful shiny red apple in a fruit bowl and you're like, oh, I'm going to take a bite of that. That looks delicious. And then you pick it up and you take a bite and it's disgusting on the inside. That was the business that I bought 11 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so, yes, I did have quite the task, many sleepless nights, a lot of tears, a lot of questioning, like, do I just write this off as a giant failure and beg for my job back at the property I was working at? But I didn't. And the journey to rebuild it and separate myself as a new business owner from the original business owner, relationship marketing and like networking, that is something that I talk so much about the value of. And I don't know your beliefs on this, but I believe so much on the idea of relationships over marketing money spent when it comes to growing your business. Yes, you may have to spend some money from a marketing standpoint, but I think relationships are so much more powerful in growing your business more impactfully.
Absolutely. 100% on that. And oh my gosh, that is like the nightmare story. So I guess anyone listening right now, they're hearing the worst case scenario of buying a business now that can unfold. Do you, looking back, think, had you done the due diligence, obviously you probably would have passed on this opportunity, but if you had started out buying a business that was in a better situation, that things could have been a world of difference for you starting out?
I think that I'm glad that I wasn't the overanalyzer and overthinker that I am now as I get closer and closer to I'm 37 at this point. So as I get closer and closer to 40, I definitely look at things with a different lens than I did then. I'm glad that I made the choice and that I was kind of stupid back then, because I think that all of the mistakes that I made and the lessons that I've learned, like everything, if you're listening to this, everything you can think of that you could do wrong as a new business owner, I absolutely did it. And I think I had to overcome a lot of that because of the state of the business that I bought. So oftentimes when I'm working with, I do coaching for up and coming planners, but I'll tell them, like, you may be starting from ground up where you are, but believe me, I started below ground. So it is possible where you're trying to go.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay. So I think it is possible, if someone makes a bad decision out of the gate or a good decision out of the gate, that they can still reroute, and you're a believer in that too, sounds like.
I am a believer in that. And I think you can make wrong decisions, and we all made them. I'm sure that both of you can think of decisions that you made early on in business that you would do differently now. It's just a matter of learning from those mistakes instead of just pushing forward and not observing, like, huh, I could have handled that differently, or perhaps I shouldn't have hired that person. This is one of the things that I say is, like, hiring in a moment of panic and deep need typically results in a not great hire on your team, but I did that and I had to learn the hard way from that. So definitely lessons that you can learn from after the fact. You just have to make sure that you pause, take a step back and say, okay, what can I learn from this?
Yeah. I think it's Gary Vee who says hire slowly, fire quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take your time to hire someone, take your time to bring someone on. And then the second you recognize a problem, address it as soon as possible. But it's interesting that you're sharing the same, because I'm like nodding my head like a bobblehead over here. We have the same exact mentality. How can we learn from those mistakes if we take the time to sit in them? And oftentimes I've realized, like, a lot of our business mistakes haven't been colossal. We haven't set anything on fire. We haven't really, really ticked anybody off too much that we couldn't come back from it. But it was, what could we have done differently and how can we learn from that and process that in a different manner so we don't do that again. Now, it could be that we let the catering team go on for too long and then the guests were disgruntled with the dinner service or those sorts of things where it doesn't necessarily fall at our feet, but still, how do we learn from those opportunities? It could be your taxes. It could be how you're handling your books. But if you do not take a hard look at what you are doing successfully and what you are not doing successfully, it's really going to stunt your growth.
It's so true. Yeah, I think so. And it's those times where you can look back and say, dang, I keep making this decision, this wrong decision over and over again. That's the point where you need to really like put the brakes on and figure out what needs to change.
Yeah. Now, what do you think were the benefits from building from an existing brand? And obviously there were some challenges as well. So what did you find those to be?
I know what I believed the perceived benefits were supposed to be from building from an existing brand, or else we wouldn't have taken out a loan to do so. I believe the benefits of purchasing an existing brand, if the business is in a good spot, is that you've got name recognition, you've already got some relationships, hopefully you've got your foot in the doors at certain venues, you already have a website, you already have an LLC. All of those things would be the existing benefits. So for me, when I look at like my own scenario, I would say there was an LLC, there was a website, there was a logo. So there's that.
Oh no.
And you know what? There were images from past events. So that's one of the things that I think new planners really struggle with. It's like, oh, I don't have any content to show. So I did have that. I did have that.
Okay. Yeah, that actually is really helpful.
Yeah, that is. Sure. I mean, it sounds like the prior owner did a great job of kind of leaving things in a shamble for you. But you did have a little bit there to work from, and also stepping into that role and being able to say, hey, we're under new ownership, it's going to be different, you know, to kind of rehab some of the relationships. Sounds like it was something in your corner. But jumping in and never owning a business before, and that for the first time jumping into kind of a crazy situation, did you struggle with the dreaded imposter syndrome in that moment or at any point as you got the business building?
I struggled with imposter syndrome definitely at the time of taking over that business. And you know, what's interesting is it's still been something that comes up for me many, many years into business. So I've been in the hospitality industry for 15 years, and still I think there are moments that as you get to the next level in your career, like you get to a place and you're like, hey, I think I might have really stepped up the type of wedding that we are planning or the budget that we're working with. And then you realize like, oh, there's still people that are always going to be better than I am, right? Like, I mean, I think social media plays into that a lot as well. I don't know if either of you have experienced the idea of like comparing yourself to what others are doing. And I've really had to retrain my brain in certain ways to quiet that inner voice that will be seeking out. It's got that radar on like who's doing what and where can I improve? Because I'm a dude. Are you Enneagram fans?
Yes.
are you on Enneagram?
I'm a huge Enneagram fan. I'm a three wing too.
Me too, Jamie. Oh my gosh.
Sister friend. Yes. So you're talking about this imposter syndrome. I'm like, the comparison game. I'm like, yup, that's me.
Yes. Yes. I struggle with that big time. And I think that there are certain things that you can absolutely do to sort of quiet that inner critic, but that inner critic is never going to stop when your brain is wired the way that mine is or yours is. So yes, 11 years in, as I continue to branch out in my business. So at first it was like wedding planning. Okay, great. I'm going to rebuild this business. I'm going to hire a team of planners and start to get my stride there. And then I think the achiever in me is like, well, what now? What can I add to it now? I'm like, I'll start a podcast. And then you're scrappy and new and podcasting. And then you start to build up that. And then you start looking at what others are doing. And then I started a membership and education site for planners a year ago. And I was scrappy. I think I like the scrappy and new and figuring out like how to grow from that. But the, as much as I love social media, as much as I love, are you guys, do you dabble in Clubhouse now?
Yes. Just recently.
We have to connect. We have to connect on there.
Absolutely.
Yes. As much as I enjoy those conversations and as much as like conversations like this comes from social media, right? Like we've never met face to face. It is something that can quickly become very toxic if you are constantly looking at what others are doing and beating yourself up for the ways that you're not showing up. So imposter syndrome is real, and imposter syndrome is something that you struggle with early on in business and you can struggle with as you continue to grow and add more to your portfolio. It doesn't go away. So that's what one of my talking points would be here, is that there's no real aha moment of I made it and it's cured or gone. It's that you learn to manage it internally.
Yeah, I feel like that's poor Heather. I just like drag her along with all of my, because I am that same scrappy. I'm like, I literally had a text typed up to her about a new TikTok idea from earlier today. And I forced myself to not send it. And I put on a little post-it behind me to like, we'll do it later. We'll do it later. But she's constantly like, Jamie, let's maintain a little focus.
And I'm like, that's a good balance though. Honestly, like the two of you, that's a really solid relationship, because you need, just like you need the cheerleader. And I did an episode on my podcast about this. It's like the people in your inner circle that are going to balance you out of the extremist. So you need the cheerleader that's going to be like, you got this. No, believe in yourself. But then you also, you need a Heather that's like, cool, cool. We can do it. But like, let's manage what we have on our plate right now.
One thing at a time. Let's not... drive ourselves crazy here.
Yeah, but the best part about Heather is she's also my cheerleader as well. Oh, so she's the Heather. Person that's like, you need to take a break, like take a step back. But she's also the first person to be like, oh my gosh, the amount of times she'll be like, that TikTok was incredible. And I'm like, stop it.
That's a good friend. That's a good friend.
She's the best. She's the best to have.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I do all right over here.
We interrupt this podcast because there is something extremely special that I want to share with you guys. I don't know about you, but for the last who knows how many years, I have been using a Frankensteined, Googled, copied and pasted contract. And while that is extremely embarrassing to admit to all of our listeners, I know that there are people out there who feel the same as I do. And there were a couple things that kept me from actually getting an attorney drafted contract. Actually, no, there was one thing. It was so expensive and it seemed so out of reach. That's when I learned about Legally Set. You see, Coonby with Legally Set has created industry-specific contracts for people like you and me working in the wedding industry. They're easy to customize. They're drafted by an actual attorney and not Googled. Can you imagine that? And last but not least, they are so extremely affordable. So if you were like me and maybe using a less than appropriate and or legal contract, it's time to step up your game. You have no more excuses. Head on over to theunionpodcast.com/legallyset to check them out.
It's so interesting to hear the perspective from you guys as threes, because I'm an eight. So I just have like tons of confidence, I guess. And I just kind of like go. And the thing that's been really helpful for me to listen to from you is the idea of reflecting and the growth, because I'm an idiot. And so I will go forward and be like, this is my initial plan. I just keep going forever and don't ever reassess. And so I have to build that into it, because my nature is so driven and like laser focused that I can just completely overlook feedback. People are telling me things and I'm like, no, you're wrong. This was my initial idea. I just keep doing it forever and no one needs to give me feedback. So there's like a whole different problem that I find, but you know, I do see the social media can be very toxic. I absolutely see that and don't experience it, I don't think, to the depths you guys do. But I'm really good at just being like blocking out social media, and to a point where it's a detriment as well. Cause I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. It seems hard to me to curate social media. I don't know why, but anyway, this is a side topic.
I think that's part of your personality. So it's interesting that, Jamie, you're a three and Heather, you're an eight, because I'm a three. And then my like podcast bestie in life is Kinsey Roberts, where she creates business and she's an eight. And we have these conversations as well, where it's like, she does not struggle with what I struggle with. So,
right?
Yeah, Yeah, it is a thing. And I think for those that are threes or in that mindset, and you don't have to be a three on the Enneagram, you can struggle with imposter syndrome just based on what your history is or the way that you were raised or mm-hmm. the way that you've, the struggles that you've encountered in business. I look back, I mean, I think I would have struggled with this anyway, but I bought this business and there was something about the idea of like, it wasn't mine. It was almost like it was mm-hmm. someone else's and I had stepped into the shoes of it. So any success, even as the business grew and success came to me, there was always a little voice in my head that was like, but people are going to think it's just because you, you took over someone else's business. Like you had a head start, an unfair head start because of that. I also remember, I think the whole community over competition is wonderful. It did not exist 10 years ago when I was a new planner. In fact, my experience was getting, I went to my first like local networking event. I was washing my hands in the bathroom and this older planner who had been in the business for a while came in and she was like, so you think you're going to be a planner now? I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, I worked for a venue for X number of years and I'm really excited about it. And she was like, call me in 6 months. Like you're not going to make it. And I remember that being one of those, yeah, it was one of those like pivotal moments where you're like, yeah, I'm probably not going to make it.
Oh, that's so sad.
Well, yeah. So that's what I'm, I think to talk about as well as part of this conversation is whether you struggle from imposter syndrome, whether you encounter you know, what I would call like the mean girls within the event industry because they exist. There's always going to be something that is going to be that mental setback for you, but it's finding your either like for you, like your cheerleader or your partner or someone that you can really lean into when things get hard, or you can check that imposter syndrome and look back on and say, like, is this really something? Like, let's talk about this. Like, let's dive deeper into this and see if this is anything valid or is it just that weird thing that my brain does where I overanalyze everything?
Yeah. And that's also a healthy dose of like reflection. Is there an actual reason to this? Or is it just because this is how my brain is wired and it's just automatically going to do this anyways, which, you know, has me thinking, do you think your inner critic would have been gentler had you started the business from the ground up? Or do you think it kind of would have found a way to be critical no matter what?
I think I am wired to, my husband says that I have, he's like, you have this insatiable chip on your shoulder, which has done great things for you in business. Like you're a hustler. You're going to figure it out and you're going to work really hard. So I think it would have been there regardless, but yeah, I think it would, Jamie, I think it would have been gentler had it been, I built it from the ground up instead of the idea of like, am I a fraud because it was someone else's baby before it was mine?
Oh, well, I think you took on more being that you bought a business that was in distress, basically. Yeah. And even if you had bought a business that was flourishing, you're just smart. I think that jumping in and having a business that actually wasn't a good place could be an awesome way to start a business in this space and to have that network. Obviously, anyone listening, do your due diligence. You don't need to go through this challenge.
Yeah, don't make this mistake. Yep.
But I think it's a smart move. Now, talking about the inner critic and all that, do you have any tips on how people who can move through that? Like if they're really in a place right now that they're like, oh my God, what have I got myself into? I can't do this. I've made a mistake. And they're beating themselves up. Like how can they start moving past that? Is there any guidance you have?
I think a couple tips that I have is you need to find a person and that person can fill many different roles. So it could be a friend like you have. It could be a business coach. I didn't hire a business coach until I was 8 years into business. And I think that from a mindset standpoint, that coach helped me so much more on a healthier business mindset than she did like actual business, like tangible goals So I would recommend, whether it's a business coach, whether it's an accountability friend that gets you and can get you out of your funk. I mean, there's a tons of resources that are free as well. I read a book recently that I've recommended to quite a few people that struggle with it. And it is, it's The Imposter Cure by Dr. Jessamy Hibbard. And there was something in the book that I thought was a really great exercise, and I'm happy to share just this thought with you all that you can take with it and do with it what you'd like. But she said, if you struggle with the idea of imposter syndrome and you have these thoughts that are constantly running through your head, one of the most powerful things that you can do is imagine telling your 18-year-old self what you are currently doing and all the things that you will overcome that 18-year-old self has no idea about at the time. And I found myself doing that. I was on a walk when I was listening to the Audible version of it. And I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, imagine if you're listening to this right now, what you would be telling your 18-year-old self, whether it is like, I got fired from a job and then I started a business, or I was in a toxic marriage and I left it and found someone that, you know, was the right person. Or in my case, I think I have 3 children that are ages 8 and under, and I have built a business and I do help others. And I've like kind of overcome these struggles that at 18, I never would have imagined that this is what my life would be. So your story is different than mine, but I'm certain that if you struggle with that and you take a moment and think about it, you would be really proud of where you are.
That hits home for me so hard, because I feel like 18-year-old me would be so pumped. Like, yes. That hit me straight in the gut. 18-year-old me would be like, what?
Yeah.
You do YouTube? You plan weddings? Like, that's awesome.
You but have I just, 3 kids?
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. I mean, yeah. I've got those too. But 18-year-old me would be like, girl, you got it going on. Like, you're building something. You're building a life that you love. Yeah. You are building an empire of sorts that you are so proud to be a part of. Like, that's something to celebrate. And that is, I've never looked at it from that perspective.
I can't take credit for it, but it's The Imposter Cure is a great book. I would recommend that. I also really love, You Are a Badass. Have you guys read that one?
That is a good one. Yes.
I have not.
Jamie, stop it. This is going to change your life. This is another book recommendation. So it's by Jen Sincero, and the book is called You Are a Badass, and it is phenomenal. If you struggle with any sort of like harsh inner voice or doubting yourself about taking the next step, whatever that next step looks like, whether it's a personal life step or a professional life step, I love, 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 love that book.
I'm taking so many notes right now. I got a lot of books to go read. If Heather hasn't already ordered them for me by the end of recording this podcast, I might be like, here you go. Just
there you go. Sign. You're good. There you go. We'll get you an Audible account. You can listen to all of them.
Audible's great. You can multitask while you're listening to books.
Exactly. It's very helpful. Well, I think those are amazing ideas. And I think folks who are listening, if you haven't checked that book out, you should. I agree. And you are a badass. So you need to just, you know, really revel in that. And I think that perspective shift of looking at where you're at from way back in time, where you're like worried and it's all unknown in the future, and you can see how you've moved through these challenges and succeeded. And yeah, you've had some times that sucked and were really hard, but you worked past it. And then that gives you the reassurance that anything that comes up in the future, you can also move through. And I think that's the main thing with imposter syndrome, is it's the feeling of not being confident that you can manage what you've taken on, that you're in a spot where you're not supposed to be. And I'm using air quotes, because you are supposed to be here. You earned your spot at the table, whatever table you're at. And you've worked really hard to put yourself in this position, and you'll continue to do that. That's part of who you are. So I am just like, I am pumped up for you guys to like feel more empowered. I'm pumped up for everyone listening to feel more empowered.
I love it.
Great.
I have one more tip. And this one's pretty straightforward, but it's just the reminder to yourself that as you are looking at someone else's social media feed and looking at their reels or their YouTubes or their TikToks or whatever it is that they're putting out there, and you're like, dang it, I haven't shown up there in X amount of time, and my house is a mess, and my kid, you know, is a disaster today, or I'm behind on getting back to this particular client email. It's like taking that moment when you start to hear those thoughts, and I do it, so you can practice this along with me, but it's the idea of like, I am a human. I am a human being, and I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to say the wrong thing, and I'm going to have those moments of shame where you wish that something had happened differently, but it didn't. But you can make a choice in that moment to either dwell on it and just beat yourself up, which is obviously not the choice that I want you to make. But the other choice is just to realize, like, not only are you human, but every other person that you're looking at the highlight reel of their life, they have messy cars, or their gas tank is on empty, or they forgot to call their mom on their birthday, or they yelled an obscenity, I'm raising my hand, at their 8-year-old in a moment of anger. We all have those moments. There's not a single person that is nailing it at life in all areas all the times. And that to me is like the most helpful thing to tell yourself, is that we're humans. We forget doctor's appointments. We forget to pay bills. We say the wrong thing. We argue with our spouses. We forget to pick up groceries. It happens to every single person.
Yeah, that's
hard for me to sit in. Like, I know that you're probably feeling, you feel those same things, and it's still hard to,
tell me why.
Why? Because I think probably because I just hold myself to a very high expectation. So it's my own doing. So I'm aware, but sometimes sitting in that's hard. Mm-hmm. Especially cause we're a part of the shame triad, where I can so easily become ashamed. Very easily. Like, my cheeks will get red in an instant. I will feel sick to my stomach if I screw up or if I offend somebody. It wrecks me to my core, and I feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. But because I've let that voice be so loud for so long on so many topics that do not deserve to own that much airspace in my brain, it's just such a natural habit. So it's not that it's an understandable thing, yes, but it's also, I've just given it so much power for so long that it is hard to reverse that thinking.
It is, but I can say that I'm 37. How old are you, Jamie?
32.
Oh, girl, you're going to be fine. Don't worry. I think that many people have told me that, like, as you get closer to 40, you're like, you care less. You don't have the bandwidth. My mom is 66 and she's never been happier because she just doesn't really care what people think. Like, she just lives her life and things are good. So I think it's one of those things that you do have to keep practicing. But I'm speaking to you, Jamie, and then I'm also speaking to you listening to this. Like, if it feels like, no, I couldn't ever break a 30-year cycle of thinking, I believe that you can. I'm not saying that I'm 100% there, but I do find that, I think coronavirus helped. I think having to, like, really fail hard at parenting to keep my business together and lead my team and do all the things, I was like, oh, wow, I can't do it all. As much as I like to wear the badge of doing all the things and doing them all well, being broken a little bit by seeing that that's actually not true and it's not sustainable and it's not good for your actual physical health or your mental health, I think those are the things that you are going to slowly, you'll get there. And I'm there. I'm working on it. I'm certainly not to a level of, like, I never feel that way, but I definitely live comfortably these days in the, I'm a human. So is Jamie. So is Heather. That's why y'all can't see this as you're listening to it, but I'm sitting on the floor of my closet and you can see a clothes and shoes behind me. And I was like, well, this is life. Like, this is what it is. Still going to be a great episode.
Yeah, it is a great episode. Absolutely.
With excellent audio, because that's the clothing right. is just absorbing about. All of that reverb. That's it's what great. It's about.
Megan, I think you were so spot on that it is something that hits in your 30s. At least for me, it was the same thing. And it was something I struggled with too, of being a perfectionist and being really critical and hard on myself with things not going exactly how I wanted. And then I feel like life threw me the curveball of infertility that went on for nearly a decade. And that struggle broke me down to the point where I was like, okay, I can't control everything. I am now going to be like blatantly honest, talk about this on podcasts and stuff. I don't care, because I know people listening who've gone through that or are going through that. It is something that will make their heart stronger to know people move through that journey, and even to have the connection of people talking about it publicly. And I think that whole process for me had me lighten up on myself in every other area of my life. So just like with COVID, that you have these challenges that you're like, holy moly, the world is trying to break me down. But it's like, if you give into it, maybe you are going to build yourself back up in a better way.
Heather, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So true.
It's crazy how business and life can do that. But hey, you know, we're all here on our journey to grow. So we're doing it through our businesses, through life, whatever, you know, gets thrown our way. You know, speaking of that, Megan, what are you going to be doing in the future? Where are you going in the next decade with your business, with life? What's next for you?
Yes. So I think part of my journey is that I've built this business for 11 years. And I've said this from the beginning, I never got into the hospitality industry because I loved weddings. I love the connection. I love relationships and I love people. So although I am really pretty good at wedding planning, I have made a shift in the last 2 years to turning back around and seeking out those planners in those first few years of business that probably feel those same struggles that I have encountered as well. And I'm really looking to raise up the level of the industry and creating a space and a community for planners to ask those questions and get excited, but also, like, you know, figure out what happens when there are bridezillas or momzillas, and know that they're not alone, or that if they don't handle it well, like, that's okay. Like, that's not the end of their business. So I have a membership and education site for up and coming planners called The Planner's Vault. And that's really where I'm putting my efforts and time right now, as I have my team running my first baby, my first adopted baby, the planner, a Southern story.
That's awesome. Yeah. What an exciting new focus for you. Jamie, did you have any questions?
No. I mean, I feel like, first of all, I feel like I just met a sister friend in the industry.
Yes.
And like, this is, you and I experienced so many of the same pain points. And I know that's going to hit really, really close to home for a lot of our listeners as well. We started something similar where I'm doing some mentorships on a small scale. And it's interesting because a lot of them were two wing threes. So I know that we relate in a lot of ways, just sometimes our main heart focus is slightly different. So I know that if any of our mentees are listening to this right now, that so many points of this episode have hit really, really hard for them. And so your vulnerability, and you're honest about your process, about what's been successful and hasn't been successful, I can only imagine how those that are a member of the Planner's Vault are just soaking up all of this knowledge. So thank you for getting bumped and bruised along the way, so the rest of us can just glean some of the wisdom from it.
Oh, thank you so much, ladies. I really, really appreciate it. These are the conversations that I want to have more of in our industry, because I know that they are so needed. I mean, we can talk all day about systems and workflow and productivity, but I really enjoy the messy behind the scenes conversations, because I think that's what really helps people move forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've just walked down the aisle of today's episode of the Union Podcast. Thank you for celebrating today's show with us. We hope that you found a little gem of wedding wisdom from this episode. Please let us know your feedback by sharing a screenshot of this episode on Instagram. Be sure to tag @UnionPodcast so we can hear your voices. Let us know what topics you'd love to hear about on future episodes. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever podcast platform you prefer. Until next time, stay lovely, wedding friends.